If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the love of the One Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is the Way of the Eternal, or How to Soul Travel. As I've mentioned before, we have a way of life, a science, and a spiritual approach, which is combined as our way of life on Venus. You might call it our Venusian Yoga, or Om Notia Zadia, which is what it's called in Venusian. And basically, it's called the kingly way. It's the royal way, the direct way, the way that takes you beyond all the phenomenal planes of duality into the very heart of the all that is. And so we'll be looking at it tonight. I'll be describing it, and then we'll end with practicing it. So before we do that, since you will definitely be soul traveling, and that means you will be externalizing your physical form at some point, i.e., it may look like you fall asleep. If you're listening to me and you're in a place where you can be completely undisturbed and comfortable, sit or lie down in a way that when you leave your body, you don't have to be concerned about it. And just adjust yourself so that you're in a proper way to do that. And we will proceed. So the lens is the path known as the path of the Bucharkam, or the way showers, or the lineage of the adepts of supreme discernment called Viragya, or the mystical or spiritual travelers, or those adepts which bring forward the divine sound and light. To my knowledge, all other yogic forms of meditation generally deal with the chakra system, starting with the root chakra, or the lower chakra, and proceeding on upward through the kundalini. And as far as I know, the yoga of light and sound, or the sound current yoga, which I'll be giving different definitives for, is the only one that starts at the brow chakra on up. It doesn't deal with the lower chakras at all. In fact, you might call it a topside down yoga rather than a bottom side up. It's returning the awareness to the heart of God that you've never in truth left, moving your awareness to what you are in eternity, which is different than enfolding in a evolutionary type of becomingness, working your way up, so to speak. I understand that when, during the Atlantean root race, when we fell from the higher planes in consciousness and became associated with duality and polarity and were locked into the third dimension, I understand that before that occurred, the only yoga, the only spiritual path was this topside down, or this let's call it even the unified field yoga, the yoga of oneness, the yoga of unity, the yoga that transcends polarity per se, that it was the only way. And then when there was no, apparently there was a 95,000 years ago, the masters, during the time of the Atlantean root race, when we fell into the concept and understanding of ourselves as differentiated into different forms, that the travelers and all spiritual masters at that time literally went underground, some in terms of going in the inner cities of Agartha, and some underground in the sense that they were no longer living in the outer visible world, but they went into the deserts and the remote areas of the Himalayas and the Andes and the different mountain ranges of the earth, and sequestered themselves in these outposts where they were not readily seen or found. And it took a great deal of difficulty for a chela or a aspirant to actually find their teacher. It was quite a search. Many people, many seekers that we read about in the esoteric literature actually went off on this great search to find a realized master. And they were as scarce as chicken teeth, so to speak, to find a real master. You had to go through lots of rigors. But now as we have the externalization, once again, of the Lords of Light, both of this planet and other worlds, we're seeing the movement out into the outer world again of these masters so that they can eventually be readily seen. Their schools or ashrams will be in the outer world once again as it was in the previous Golden Age. And the good news about that is that everyone will be able to have access to a traveler and be able to practice this path that's been called soul transcendence, awareness expansion, consciousness encompassment, the master power, Nada Brahman, Surat Shabd Yoga, Sahaj Yoga, which means natural yoga, or the science of light and sound, or the yoga of light and sound, or simply the yoga of the divine sound current. Now, the yogic ways that work beneath the brow chakra, they are basically working with the light. There's a whole series of mystery school initiations that's involved with that process that we're all familiar with. We've all been through them. But they work only with the light. You don't find them actually speaking about the divine sound current. They may not even know of it. It's hard to say. But the royal way, or the path of the king, as it's called, or soul transcendence, is actually the path. It's the path that's so natural to us. It's nothing that has to do with outer psychic and material phenomena. It's as easy as breathing in and breathing out and allowing that natural current that carries us home through grace to simply source us from within. And I will go into describing a little bit more detail because I know unless you've actually experienced it, it's difficult to translate sometimes the simplicity of it. But once you experience it, it's like, oh, wow, that was just the easiest thing in the world. I was doing it all along. I didn't even realize it. See, every time you kind of catch yourself and maybe you've been driving and you don't know how you got from A to B, it's like the time just went by and you lost all sense of the distance or the whatever. Those are moments when you're soul traveling. Or at night you might have had those dreams where you're flying. Oh, they're wonderful. All flying dreams are soul travel dreams. And I know whenever I'm in a situation, from the time I was a little child, I'd have these dreams where I would simply fly, like Peter Pan. But it was interesting because if I had any negative feeling or thoughts or I was afraid, I wouldn't be able to take off very well. I'd get a little heavy, you know, like a big heavy duck. I couldn't quite lift off as easily. And, of course, in Peter Pan, you have to fly with it. Faith and trust and a pinch of pixie dust and keep your thoughts positive. And that's very true. That's exactly how it's done. But I think we all enjoy this story of Superman and Peter Pan and things of that nature, because all of us have an innate knowing that we can fly. I was constantly trying to jump off things and fly when I was a child because I flew all the time, so why couldn't I fly when I was in my physical body? Anyway, when your third eye is opened, you actually can see through it. And you know it's opened because all of a sudden you see like a screen that opens. It can look like an eye. It can look like a vortex of light. It can look like a circle. But all of a sudden you can travel through it, and you sometimes will hear a pop in your, or like a door banging. Sometimes there's a sound like that when you come in or out of the body. And the next thing you know, you've exited into this realm, this beautiful otherness. And that that third eye is called the tenth door, or the Tisratil. And it's actually straight up through the center of your head and out the top of your head. But the third eye has three lines of vision. It has forward, directly forward. It has directly upward. And it has directly backward. So you can have three like points of view when you're focused at the Tisratil, or the third eye, or the Agnaya Center, as it's called. I have mentioned before that the third eye actually is not the Agnaya Center, or sixth chakra. It is actually the Vesica Pisces that is formed by the inner and overlapping spheres of light from your pituitary and your pineal glands. And that center part, that Vesica Pisces, is actually the Tisratil, or the third eye. So these mystical travelers, or spiritual travelers, or Bocharkam, or Wayshowers, or Viragi, whatever you want to call them, they are not like masters that you could say, oh, well, there's a master because he's got on his ochre robe or his guru outfit or whatever. No, they generally live a very ordinary life. They don't usually draw attention to themselves in any way. They can be married or single or living in a, with a domestic partner. They never do any phenomena or exhibit any kind of occult powers, because a traveler will never point you outward. That's the one thing you can always tell a traveler, is they always point you back to your own inner master within yourself. And that's a big, big difference. They'll never point to themselves and draw attention to themselves in any way. They very seldom even allow themselves to be called master, although that's in India, of course, they do. That's just a different cultural valence. But here in America, generally speaking, they keep a low profile and don't draw attention to themselves. The only duty of a spiritual traveler is to set you free. They have no other agenda. That's it. They've come to set you free. Free of what? Free of the wheel of reincarnation and the law of karma. You have to work through the things that you have set in motion. You know, what you sow, you must reap. But it is greatly mitigated, ameliorated, and softened once you come into the orbit of a traveler that takes responsibility for you. By the way, the three aspects of the third eye I was talking about, I just was remembering that sometimes you'll see pictures of Jesus or the saints, maybe not the saints, but Jesus. I've seen several Russian icon pictures of Jesus where they'll show, or Greek Orthodox icons, where you'll see three shafts of light coming out of his head, one at the top and two on either sides of his head. Those are actually representing those three aspects of the third eye I was speaking about just a few minutes ago. So every single religious tradition that we're aware of has its travelers, although not every traveler was associated with any particular religious path. There have been travelers that were poets and artists and musicians, and in every kind of a livelihood that you can imagine. So they don't always, it doesn't always go to say that they are heads of spiritual paths out in the world, or that they can be pointed to as a founder of a particular path or an inspirer of a particular path. But having said that, it's interesting to note that every world religion I can think of has a traveler that we look to in that discipline. For example, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and all the lineage of the Jewish patriarchs, they were all travelers. They were all on that lineage. You have Naropa and Milarepa in Buddhism, and probably others that I'm not aware of. You have Zoroaster for Zoroastrianism. You have Shamsi Tabriz and Jalaluddin Rumi in the Sufi, in Islamic tradition, and others as well. Well, Muhammad was also a traveler. You have Elijah, you have Akhenaten, you have Guru Nanak and Shivaji and the 10 Sikh gurus. You have Rama, Lord Rama from the Vedic tradition, and you have Kabir and Sardar Singh, who was called the Great Master, the Great Sikh Master. Many, many Sikhs practices yoga. It's very well known amongst the Sikhs. So the human souls were locked into the third density sometime during the Atlantean root race, and they were held captive by a being who functions under the limited light. And as we've been looking at, within duality, we have two powers. We have the call power, which is a Hindi Sanskrit word, which basically means time, the spirit of time. And you have the ek power, which is the Hindi Sanskrit word ek means one. So you have the power of the one, or the unified field, or unity. And then you have the time-binding spirit that operates in what's called the mist universes. Mist is a word that stands for matter, energy, space, and time. So those are all part of the lower universes that function under limited light. And the call power, although he's also known as Lucifer, Satan, or the devil in the Christian understanding, he has more of a function of a trainer and a one who tests and makes certain that you're prepared to go as a master into the positive realm. So he's not quite painted as such a dark and evil being in the sound current tradition. He's looked at more as a very strict taskmaster that will try to trip you up and tempt you every way he can and wrest you from the grip of the travelers, because he knows once the traveler has your soul that he's lost you and he can't play with you like his little puppet in his realm of Maya and illusion. So he does everything in his power to keep you from finding a traveler and staying on that path. So again, the call power functions only through light and limited light. The travelers have the light and the sound, and they have the living light or the living word, which is the same thing. So the travelers always adhere to the word of God. But the word of God in traveler parlance doesn't have to do with written scriptures. It has to do with the living word within you, the sound of God, the Bhagavad Gita, which is, again, God's song within you. Because in the beginning was that sound, was that Adi Pranava, that original sound from which everything was created and then became densified into the light spectrum and the color spectrum and finally into material manifestation. And that's the spectrum that we all traverse when we embody. So once you understand the function of different things, I think it makes your life much, much more simple in the working. Now, it's interesting that when you pass out of your body, if you're not an initiate of one of the travelers, you have to stand before Kal. And in that capacity, he's known as Lord Yama, or Dharmaraj. And he's a pretty tough dude because he will bring out all of the stuff you did. He is the one that keeps notes of everything that you do. And the Kal power is very legalistic. This is the law. And every little jot and tittle is taken into consideration. And he doesn't give you any wiggle room. Whereas travelers are through grace. And if you're initiated by a traveler, you won't go to Yama. You will go directly with the traveler, and you bypass all of that third degree that most souls have to go through that are still in his play plan of karma and reincarnation. So, it's interesting. It's a very interesting process that we have here in these lower realms. And being an adept has to do with understanding light and shadow and the value of both. Because I'll tell you something, if you don't have a shadow, you're not the light. Because everything has a shadow. So if you are the light, then you're going to have a shadow. And the shadow is, again, the false projection or the illusory projection. But it's a very necessary one because you gotta wear the appropriate garment to function in the appropriate realms that you're functioning in. And we wear a kalistic body. We have a material body. In fact, that infamous 666 is simply the carbon-based molecular construction of material body. It's the densest compression of light and gravitationally entrapped light. And it's 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons, and that's the carbon-based molecule. And that's all that means. It's not anything to be superstitious about. But we're moving into the 999, and from thence eventually into the 12-12-12, which of course is the 999, is resurrected light, unlimited light, eternal. And then, of course, the 12-12-12 is the divine perfection of the divine throne realms, the Adam Kad Mon. And that's another thing. So, for the reason that the path of the sound current is always an internal path, the Kal is always into razzle-dazzle and promoting outer manifestations. Phenomena such as magical powers and rituals and rites and invocations and summoning the powers of the material elements like earth, wind, fire, water. And it's all about nuts and bolts technologies of all kinds. Those are the things he loves. And he loves religion because he likes to set up rules and judge you severely for every infraction. He's sort of a humorless dude. His agenda is to trick you up, trip you up. So the Kal power is called also the prince of this world, and that he is the lower manifested God form of material creation. And I think Jesus called him the prince of this world or the lord of this world. I don't remember. I think the prince of this world is what he called him in the Bible. Which, by the way, Jesus was known as the supreme traveler. Why? Well, the Bible says that he was the only soul that came from the highest heavens and was without sin. In other words, he never missed the mark of the original excellence. Perhaps he did in previous times, probably, on other planets perhaps. But when he came into the earth system, he was absolutely a perfected soul and never bought into the illusion, ever. So the Jesus of Nazareth incarnation, the Messiah, was not ever part of that fallen energy. He never slipped in his awareness of the Father and his oneness with the Father. So for that reason, sometimes people say, well, you follow Jesus, he's dead, And it's like, no, Jesus actually overcame death, which was part of the fall, and resurrected his body, and lives. And he can step right out of the ethers as easy today as he could at any point and initiate anyone that he wants to. Generally speaking, he will work through whoever is in the physical body that's taken on that job. But still, Jesus is the one that you will meet on the inner planes that takes you up. He's the only soul that has actually made a commitment to take all human souls home to the Father. You know, the others have never made that claim. They probably couldn't make that claim. But Jesus said, I will take whoever calls upon my name, whoever comes to me, I will take. And that makes him really, really a friend and a brother to us all in a very special way. So there are lots of different outposts of this positive and this negative consciousness. On each realm, you'll find that there's a regent, let's say, of the Cal Power or the Call Power that lines up on the so-called left side, and a lineage of the positive ones that line up on the right. And you go through those channels, kind of weaving your way if you're going with a spiritual traveler, because the traveler embraces of everything. It doesn't exclude or polarize at all. I like to call it the neutral elevator of grace, because it doesn't go into againstness. It doesn't judge. It's a consciousness of ever-expanding love and all-embracement. And so it sees the beloved regardless of the manifestation, but it keeps its eyes on the Supreme Lord. And in that way, you'll be introduced to all these different realms, but in the safety and protection of the travelers. So, and of course, the call lineage will honor you and respect you and stand back from you when you're in the company of the travelers. And the ones that are on the positive polarity will, of course, let you pass into any realm that you travel if you're accompanied by a traveler. And then we become travelers. The traveler lives within us as the Holy Spirit or the Divine Spirit. And so we, too, earn the right to eventually move unimpeded from realm to realm and level to level. So the travelers are aware of every soul. No one is ever overlooked when a soul is ready to transcend beyond the cycle of karma and reincarnation. And there's a way of freedom through grace that opens to every soul that's ready. And you're given as much time as you want. You know, there's nobody that is pushing a soul, because a soul's got to do what a soul's got to do. And the first thing a soul has to do, or wants to do, not has to, but generally speaking, a soul pursues the light of experience driven by desire during its early incarnations. Then as it matures, it begins to move into the light of knowledge. It wants to increase its knowledge and understanding. And then only later, you know, when a soul has really been around the block a few times, and maybe too many times, it begins to really pursue the path of wisdom and beingness. And those are the souls which, you know, they've been there, done that, bought the beanie, they're tired of it, they just want to go home. And those are the ones that the travelers will find a way to encounter, usually first on the inner planes, and then you'll be led to someone in the physical, or an initiate of one of the travelers in the physical, which in your case, I am one of those people. And when you hear an initiative, a traveler speak, then you are offered what's called the spiritual promise. That very night, you will be taken up on the inner planes with a traveler, and they will ask you if you would like to make this your last incarnation. And you will know what your answer was by what you decide to do later, because if you decide to come into the path of the traveler and make that your particular practice, then you are led to the physical teacher in the physical realm that does that. And that's pretty cool. It's, you know, and I was proverbially drug bass ackwards to the traveler, because I wasn't looking for a teacher, didn't want a teacher. And, you know, he had to send all sorts of agents into my arena until finally I found my way to my first physical seminar and recognized him as being an interplane teacher I'd been working with since I was 12. But I was so convinced I'd found my way and found my path, and don't confuse me, I'm not looking for a teacher. I don't want to know anything about any of that. And you see, I couldn't avoid it. So this is not something that you have to be worried about, okay? You just need to keep your eyes open and ask yourself, is the path that I'm walking producing the sense of freedom and joy and love that it promises? Are you, in fact, free? Because remember, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And knowing the truth is our dharma, our duty as a soul. And we can't know the truth from outer sources. We can't follow somebody else's truth. We can't learn truth from a book. These things reflect, perhaps, certain spiritual principles that are aligned with truth, but you got to know truth. You know, it says in the Bible that the true worshipers of God worship God in spirit and in truth. So your spirit bears witness to truth. Your spirit is truth. Your spirit is an incarnation of divine truth. So when you get the recycled parts of yourself cleared away, truth remains. Because when you think about it, you're recycled. Your body is recycled earth. Your fluids of your body are recycled water. Your mind are recycled thoughts, beliefs, and exposure to different types of things. Your breath in your lungs, aside from being, you know, I always say that God is the one that breathes breath into your lungs. Yeah, true. But in another sense, your breath is also recycled air. They say we have the same air on our planet that was breathed by Krishna and, you know, all the ancient adepts from the beginning of time. So the one thing that isn't recycled is our spirit, which is ever one with God, never goes into the recycling process. So that consciousness, that divine consciousness that we are, is what we term soul or spirit. So the call power is extremely legalistic. If you want to know what it looks like a very dogmatic doctrine that says, do it my way or else. That would be the call power. The call power is very insecure. It demands worship. It demands homage. It wants you to tremble in your boots when you approach it. It's not a warm fuzzy. So it sets the law. It's all about law. It's all about universal laws and the limits set by law. And it's about jurisdiction. It's about territory. It's about fulfilling all the laws. Every little dot, every little T must be crossed. Everything. It also is the laws of nutrition and finance and science and medicine and religion and everything that's got laws and structure and form is basically the domain, again, material domain of the call power. It's the one that set up this eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth exacting legal system. So under the system of call is karma, karmic law, and the law of return or reincarnation. So actually, those who study the Bible may not realize that the supreme God of the true divine creation is different than the God of the fallen creation. They're different. And if, you know, many people like myself and others who've studied the Bible at great length, we go from seeing this wrathful, jealous God that's fuming and fomenting with rage, who smites and kills for any infraction of the law, to the loving Father that Jesus spoke of, who loves and extends grace and loves all of its creation and sees it all as good. Very different manifestation can be detected. And probably it has to do with the fact that you have a soundbite, a quick overview of Scripture in the Bible. It recapitulates many ancient stories and legends, and it cuts to the chase, and it doesn't really beef out or explain the different levels of divine jurisdiction, or the tribal, and the different Elohim that were involved with the creation of what we now understand of as our universe. So it was not just one consciousness that was manifesting all of that. There were different aspects and different manifestations, and coming under the laws of polarity. So this duality is part of our experience. Again, while functioning within the matter, energy, and space and time universes. So it's appropriate, but the Atma, however, is beyond all of that. It comes from the source that is the supreme, unmanifest, Sukhmad or Sarmad or Purushottama. It's all these names for it, or Akshaya. Baba Sai Baba calls it Akshaya. That aspect of God is beyond name and beyond form and all manifestations that we would think of. So the realms of truth reside way beyond everything that we can imagine or even touch to and experience during all of the yogas except the yoga of the sound current. The yoga of the sound current alone will take you beyond the realms that are presided over by these lower God forms and into what's called the realm of truth or Satchkhand or the realm of Satnam, which is the realm of the first manifestation of the divine positive energy in the soul realm, or the realm of the golden kingdom. It's perceived as golden light. So naturally that is called the kingdom of the golden kingdom. So how can you tell if you're following the path of Kal or Satnam? Well, again, Kal is the path of works. Do this, do that, or else. Satnam, or the path of the Christ, is the path of grace and being, and it has to do with limitless light in souls, not limited light or gravitationally entrapped light, and so the approach is totally different. All structured systems and organized thought systems. Again, whether they be religious or scientific or medicine or the legal system or the laws of finance, the laws of nutrition, the laws of politics, all of those are call systems by their very nature because they restrict, control, legislate, dictate the various procedures, and they rule. And there's always like a tight moral directive built into that system too. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because as long as we have an ego and an ego mind, we absolutely have to have some form of legal system and boundaries and a structure to contain. Basically, all the Ten Commandments are about protecting from lawless and loveless behavior. Once you learn the law of love, transcend the law through love, actually, it's more accurate. You don't need the thou shalt nots. So perhaps it goes without saying that all religions, probably without exception, are following basically the call power, since he demands homage and worship and puja and propitiation and all that sort of thing and offerings and sacrifices, whereas the sukma, the imperishable, divine, beyond name and form manifestation of the all that is God, doesn't need any of that, doesn't require any of that. You worship him in spirit and in truth and directly through the living word and the living sound within you. So the power source for all religions is where Kal makes his headquarters, which is the very top of the mental plane, called Mount Kailash. And there he presides as Trilokeshwara, or the Lord of the three worlds, which would be the physical world, the causal world, or astral, and the mental world. Those are his domains. And then above that, you have the mental plane, etheric plane, which is the void, or the great unconscious, or the abyss. And this is a zone of absolute unconsciousness and darkness. And the many consciousness bardos and symbols and impulses that rise up that try again to turn you back away from Satnam, or the soul plane, which is the next plane of the Golden Kingdom. And that's a place that usually when you feel yourself falling, sometimes when you come back in your body and you wake up with a start, like you're falling through darkness or something, falling inside yourself, that's when you pass through that etheric, because we always pass through it when we've been on the soul plane and we come back into our bodies. So beyond that etheric is the realm of Satnam, or the first true manifestation of God, and or Satya Desh, the realm of Satya is truth, and Desh means land, or Satya Lok or Loka, which means the world of truth. And that's the soul plane, or the fifth realm, the fifth plane, it's often called that. And that is pure, positive, divine, spiritual energy. So it is taught within the tradition of the spiritual travelers that, number one, one must have a living teacher. Number two, one must be physically connected to the sound current by that teacher, while both are residing in the physical body. Once that's accomplished, you really don't need to even see your teacher again. If you practice the spiritual exercises, which consist of meditating on the light and sound, and repeating daily the sacred tone or mantra that you were given at the time of initiation, and, you know, follow the path, it's possible to make this your last incarnation in the physical world. So, obviously, it's for those for whom it's for. And so, there are several ways to practice soul travel. The first is to change your point of view. So we're going to be practicing a few of them and then close with a really nice one. The practice of the sound current has to do with two functions. Nirat, which is to watch for the inner light, and Surat, which is to listen for the inner sound. So, you sit comfortably. You close your eyes. Take a deep breath. And just park your attention in the center of your head. And just sit on a golden bar placed between your two ears inside the center of your skull. Just sit there like a golden Buddha. And the first exercise is you simply change your point of view. Just imagine that you're in Paris looking up at the Eiffel Tower. That's a very simple way to soul travel, is to change your point of view. The second technique is expansion technique. Imagine you drop like a golden pearl into a clear, calm lake. And visualize the concentric rings extending from where you're centered in the lake. That's a simple exercise of expansion. You can keep doing that, and you'll just go right out. Another one is consciousness embracement. It's similar to the expansion, except you're very aware of all the sounds and everything in your environment, the people, the animals, the objects around, and you just allow yourself unlimited embracement. You just include them all within your auric field and just allow them. And when you do that, make sure you're centered and you're loving. So there's nothing that can stick on you. Just unlimited loving expansion. That's a very simple technique. You can extend yourself out into your neighborhood. You can go throughout the planet. You can put the planet to where it's like a little tiny marble, in, you know, inside the center of your being. And you can practice this in all sorts of different ways. We don't have time to go through a great deal of them tonight. But Ekankar actually puts out a wonderful booklet called Spiritual Exercises of Ek that has, like, I think 101 different soul travel techniques. And that's a really nice book. John Roger puts out a wonderful book called The Inner Realms of Meditation. And passage through spirit that go into these that are very nice. We also have a lot of meditational CDs on different soul travel techniques, and you can contact msia.org and purchase those things. And those organizations also, both of them, teach soul travel. So in your mind's eye, you can visualize some place you'd like to be. And that's the be there now technique. And when you do that 100%, at some point you'll find yourself bilocating. You can actually bilocate physically, as I've mentioned before. I've actually done that. When you're 100% aligned in the imagining that you're someplace specifically. So now we're going to practice one together. And you'll probably go out of your body on this. So again, make sure you're comfortable. And this is going to be an inner journey. So again, take a deep breath. And reach out your hand, your right hand, and the traveler will be taking your hand. Just take the traveler's hand. You don't actually have to visualize a particular person. Just know that it's the spiritual traveler. And let's visualize walking along a seashore. And feel the sand moving under your bare feet, the sun on your shoulders. And smell the exhilarating fresh sea air, the seaweed washed up upon the shore. Smell your suntan lotion. And taste your lips and the salty sea spray on your lips and maybe your chapstick. Feel the surf rolling in and lapping at your feet and ankles. Feel the warmth of the hand of your silent companion, your traveler walking by your side. And hear the screeching of the seagulls, dipping and diving overhead. And off in the distance you hear a buoy, ding, 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 dinging in the distance. And you see sailboats. Very many, and a large fishing ship coming into the harbor. Now you and the traveler are kind of skipping along, just enjoying yourselves. All of a sudden he gives your hand a little tug, and he lifts off, and he pulls you right along with him. And suddenly, your feet leave the sandy beach, and you are flying. Effortlessly soaring over the ocean, past the astonished seagulls, and looking down at the harbor, the ships far below getting smaller and smaller as you fly up, 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 just like Peter Pan, Wendy. You have dreamt this in dreams. This time you are experiencing it for real. You notice the beautiful shades of pink gradually turning into coral, saffron, beautiful gold, lavender, gold, lavender, gold. The sound of the sea, the ding-dinging of the buoys, and the seagulls. And all of a sudden, pop into this beautiful golden realm, and you hear the sound so hauntingly beautiful, it pulls you into it in ecstasy. It's like the sound of Krishna's flute, and the gold and the lilting melodies feel like they're playing your cells of your innermost being and singing to you. It's as if every cell in your body was singing the holy names of God. And the traveler laughs at the sound that is like many waters. It's like the tinkling of many, many bells. It's like the sound of many conches. It's like all the beautiful sounds and melodies combined that seem to be singing your heart. Playing your harp is, your heart is though it were a harp. every single part of your being is experiencing the most exquisite peace and ecstasy and joy, joy unspeakable, beauty unimagined, the colors. Oh, it's like living jewels. The light is like liquid gold. It's like liquid color. It's like liquid sound. How can you swim in color and sound and light and ecstasy all at the same time? And suddenly you know there's a clarity of such being at home and realizing, I've always been here. I just forgot. I always have been here. I am that I am. This is home. This is what I've yearned for. This is what I've sought in every place and face, in every lover, in every sweet embrace, in every experience, in every longing. This is what I have been seeking. And as you experience what it is to be completely whole, completely one with all that exists, completely as if you were the one incarnation, and in truth you are. And we will go out singing the names of God in the sacred chant, Ek Om Kar Sat Nam. Deep breath.
Ek Om Kar Sat Nam. 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 Sat Nam. Ek Om Kar Sat Nam.
Continue soaring, beloveds. And God evening, God bless you, and Adonai.